Okay. So our gospel reading this week is Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21, page 15 in your pew Bible. A reading from the New Testament from the gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard about John, he withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. When the crowds learned this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When Jesus arrived and saw a large crowd, he had compassion for them and healed those who were sick. That evening, his disciples came and said to him, "This is an isolated place, and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go into the village and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "There's no need to send them away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here except 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." He ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven, blessed them, and broke them, the loaves apart, and gave them to his disciples. Then the disciples gave them to the crowds. Everyone ate until they were full. And they filled 12 baskets with the leftovers. About 5,000 men, plus women and children, had eaten. Here ends the reading of the gospel. The word of God for the people of God. Okay. So, you know, this is an interesting passage. And one of the things that we don't always think about is I feel like we've sometimes forgotten how critical this really was. This is one of the few passages that occurs in all 4 Gospels, which should be a little hint that this is an important passage. One of the only other passages that occurs in all 4 is the resurrection of Jesus. So there is something very critical here, and yet I feel like this has not held the same import in modern ears as it did to the people in Jesus' day. In fact, one of the earliest signs of who we were as Christians was a fish. Not the cross, but a fish. In part for this very reading. So if we stop and think about it, this is a key part to our faith. And yet it's one of those parts we tend to overlook because it's so basic. It seems so minor that sometimes I think we forget how critical it really is. First off, one of the things that I like to do is sometimes look at what some of the passages right before and after and see if they help inform the message that you're hearing. And honestly, I do think this is a case where that sometimes can actually give us a little bit of help. Because just before this passage where Jesus goes off to try and be alone is the passage where John the Baptist is killed by the state. And, you know, so kind of what you see is a contrast of 2 banquets. The banquet where the ruler goes and says, "You know what, let's have a good party and do everything great. Oh, I liked your dancing so much, I'll give you whatever you want." And the person asks for the head of John the Baptist. And so he becomes powerless. It's how people viewed the worldly power of Rome. It was a very Christian thing to say, "Look at this powerful Roman figure. He stuck killing an innocent man. He wasn't sure he really wanted to kill, but he's got to do it now." So he now kills somebody at his banquet. What happens at Jesus' banquet is he has compassion on the people who show up, uninvited to his banquet. He heals the sick among them, and he tries to care for them. And when his disciples said, "Send them away without food," he asks, "No, I think we'll stay and feed them. What do you have? Let us bless what we have and share it amongst ourselves." it will be enough. This is a very different way of trying to have power and a very different way of throwing a big banquet. In the Roman system, everybody was sort of looking up to those ahead of them, hoping they would get crumbs from the person ahead of them. Instead, Jesus goes, "What do we have? Let's share it everywhere. Let's not worry about power. All I am pulled by is this compassion I have for you, because I look at you and I see a person just like me." Jesus was, in fact, mourning John the Baptist. That's part of why he tried to get away and be by himself a little bit. I think he was trying to deal with his pain and hurt of losing his cousin. To know that a man of God had been killed for saying what he should say by holding to the truth. So, of course, this is a tough time for Jesus. And yet when he sees the crowd, he has compassion for them, heals them, and then tries to break bread together. The meaning of the word companion is actually come together to eat bread. Pan was bread. So it's basically saying, hey, let us join together in breaking this bread. It's a reminder that one of the most basic acts we do as human beings of eating brings us together with everybody that we share that place, where we share the idea of stopping breaking bread together and just plain eating together. It's so critical. It's so critical. And we so often forget how important it really is just to be able to look at somebody and say, you know what, you're part of this humanity that I'm part of. Let us break bread together. Let us become companions on our journey so that we're not strangers anymore. I got to tell you, this is definitely a challenging thing, and it probably was very challenging for some of the people in the crowd, because we know Jesus attracted not only people that were righteous, and you know, even among his disciples, there were zealots, there were tax collectors, and I got to tell you, zealots and tax collectors did not get along. They're probably worse than Republicans and Democrats today. So this is not exactly a crowd that would, you know, you'd think want to hang out together. And yet here they are trying to get to Jesus, getting healing, caring, and then they're breaking bread and fish together and eating together. This is a tough thing. And I don't think we totally understand how tough it really was. The passage almost glosses over that issue because all we have is a crowd. We didn't worry about who was a Democrat, who was a Republican, who was a zealot, who was a tax collector. They just broke bread together, ate together. And Jesus was saying, this is what the kingdom of God is more like, where we sit together in companionship, and there will be enough for all, even when it looks like there is not enough for anybody. There will be enough in some sense for all. And there was. It's just one of those amazing stories that we don't always fully appreciate what was going on. In some ways, it sort of makes me think this might have been one of the first potlucks in the Christian church. Because, you know, show up with what you got, and suddenly it's more than enough for everybody. And I have to say, that's kind of my experience with potlucks, is you show up with your food, and suddenly there's more than anybody can eat that's there. So, you know, it's a blessing. It means that we're connected back to those Christians, and that's one of the things I've been told about this church. Even before I arrived, I knew that food was important to you, and that would be something that would connect us. Because I also think food is very important, and it helps connect us to who we are and keeps us grounded. It just is a challenge sometimes when we're trying to eat with somebody very different from us. And I got to admit, I understand that is a challenge, and it can be a little bit hard at times. But this is a reminder that that table is available to everyone. A reminder that we're supposed to, like Jesus, invite everyone who's there, not go, oops, our table is too small, and kick somebody out. We're supposed to invite everybody to the table. And I don't care who you are, there's going to be somebody you struggle to invite to that table. Because do we really want to sit down and eat with our enemies? Probably not. Most of us don't want to sit there and eat with our enemies. How many of you have sat at a table and eaten with the homeless? Again, not somebody most of us want to sit down and eat with. But I have sat down and eaten with the homeless. It can be done. It can be a chance to build companionship, to understand that they are people who have just gotten onto hard times, and a reminder of their humanity to sit and eat with them. So this can be a reminder to us to always remember to just sit and eat with people. It's simple acts like these that can sometimes have the most meaning. Whether it's sitting and eating, giving somebody a smile or a hug, these can be vital steps in helping somebody feel loved and cared about in this world. And yet, they're so critical to the person in that moment. We sometimes forget how critical it can be to have companionship, to know that somebody cares about us and cares what happens to us. This is something that is critical for all people, to know that their life matters in some sense. Too often we try to, ignore that and kind of ignore it and go about doing the worldly things, and we forget that the things we do matter, not just here on Sundays, but all the time. So we got to remember, like Jesus, even though we're hurting sometimes, it pays to look out there, see what's around you, and say, I have compassion for this. How can I heal and make it better? And it might be in simple things. Sometimes we're given a little more to heal, and like Jesus, we can do some miracles. But sometimes all we can do is sit and eat with somebody. But even that helps spread the kingdom of God, helps us connect and say, you know what? This compassion can be the thing that leads to new companions, that helps us build relationships with other people and helps us be part of the community that we are. And I have to say that I think this church already knows that sharing food is important and can help us as we try to build those relationships and share what we can with others around us. So let's just grow on that. Find other ways we can try and be the presence of Jesus in the lives of people around us so that we can be out there trying to heal those that we see around us, to have compassion and try to turn that compassion to make companions out of other people, just as Jesus did in this moment, in this feeding. Let us pray. God, help us to look out on the world with compassion, seeing not just enemies or strangers or weirdos, but seeing new companions that can join us in the journey, new people that can share with us what they know to help us have a broader and deeper understanding of your love, a broader and deeper way of also sharing our love with others so that we can be Jesus in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.